Adulting is a roller coaster of really high highs, low lows, and everything in between. If you are in the thick of this ride and changing your mind every 2 seconds about whether you are enjoying it or not, you're in the right place. Every 2 weeks, join the Adulting Out Loud hosts as we talk through our experiences as certified adults, offering each other encouragement, inspiration, and a good laugh. We hope to leave you feeling refreshed and ready to face everything adulting has in store for you. Thanks for listening. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Adulting Out Loud. I'm your host, Yunia, and as usual, I'm joined by Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Yunia.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. It's okay to say you're tired, Carol. I know it's the middle of the week.
Yes, I'm tired.
It's fine. We're recording this, guys, in the middle. It's a Tuesday, so it's the middle of the week at the end of a long work day. So if we sound a bit slow, please bear with us. But we are fine. We are fine. The treadmill of adulting has been running crazy lately, but yeah. But we are good. All good things. So we are good. We are not complaining. So today we are talking about a topic that we have wanted to talk about for a long time, but we didn't feel qualified. We wanted to be able to talk about it from the point of view of us learning and also to add value to you guys, our listeners. So finally, we are here today. And the conversation we're having today is mental health. We're talking about mental health, not all things mental health, because I think there's a lot that goes into that. And I don't think one podcast of 20 minutes can do it justice. But we're just going to touch a tip on the iceberg. And joining us to shed more light on this is our counseling psychologist. And we are more than grateful to have her on here today. You're welcome, Olive.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. I'm great. Thank you so much, Yunia, Carol. Very glad to be here talking to you guys today.
We are glad to have you. You know, I've just called you only Olive because, like I said, you're really hard for me to pronounce. But I know has Olive Nyokabi. She does have another name. Tell us more about yourself, Olive.
As you said, I am a cancer psychologist, and I'm really passionate about mental health because it's something that I suppose has always been an interest of mine unconsciously until I came to a place where I was dealing with my own mental health issues. Then it became very conscious thing and I pursued it, like I took it on as a career. Your mental health is what actually forms your heart. You could have a lot of external things going well for you, but if you're not in a good internal state, then, you know, the quality of your life is really compromised. So I think it's something that we need to prioritize. I love the fact that it's a buzzword, like you said, because I think it's something that we need to talk about more. You know, they talk about stigma and all these things, but I feel like that's something starting to change and I'm glad to be someone who adds to the voice of mental health in Kenya.
Wow. We are looking forward to learning from you today, Olive. And I just wanted to give our listeners more insight about who you are. Are you a morning person or an evening person?
Wow, totally an evening person, a complete night owl. So much so. Let me tell you, if I allow myself, I can live my day completely. I can end up going to bed at 8 a.m. Yeah.
Wow. That's funny.
I know you're near. I know you're also a night owl.
I am definitely a night owl. Like, definitely. It's Carol who is it's almost Carol's bedtime, meanwhile. So
maybe past.
Maybe past. Carol is just not about that night owl life.
That's right.
Oh, wow, Carol. I'm so sorry. Highly disadvantaged you today.
Yeah,
inconvenienced you greatly.
Are you an oldest child, a middle child, the youngest, or the only child in your family?
I'm a last born. I have the great privilege of being a well taken care of last born.
The pampered one.
The pampered one. So they say. Actually, I'm going to dissuade that.
And you love reading, Olive. So which books are you drawn to? Fiction or nonfiction?
Wow, that's an interesting question. So very much into nonfiction when I was young. younger, or rather to fiction when I was younger, I used to read a lot of stories, fantasies, I don't know, like just anything that I could read when I was younger. I read a lot, you know, like I think I read the whole of the Babysitter's Club, you know, all those things, that the Wakefield Twins, what was that?
Sweet Valley!
I can never forget Sweet Valley. I read all those ones. Twins, High, University.
Nancy Drew, the Hardy Boys.
Famous, I loved all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read since I was a kid. I've always loved it. But of course, now, I think in adult years, it's become more that I'm interested in nonfiction. I can't say that I've actually read a fiction book in a very long time. I suppose that's part. Yeah, it's true. It's true. The honest truth is that I haven't done that. And I think it's because I feel like that need has kind of been met by Netflix now. Netflix is doing the entertain. Yeah.
Blame it on Netflix. That's interesting. That's
so, Olive, tell us, what is mental health? I think that's where I want to start.
I think, interestingly, that's probably the most interesting question that we're going to talk about today, or that we're going to answer today, because psychologists tend to define mental health by what it's not, like what is ill health, because it's so difficult to come up with the idea of what ideal mental health looks like. You know what I mean? We all have experiences where we're sad or we're not functioning very well, worried. Those are very normal human experiences. So what is ideal mental health? It's so hard to define that. So what we tend to think about more is what is ill health? How do you find out that what you're experiencing now is going into the zone of being considered not healthy or not well? So that has to do with how you're functioning, or are you able to complete the tasks that you typically do, can show up in your life in the way that you typically show up. No? So that's what defines being mentally well. Just being able to manage life, handle life, go through life, enjoy it, you know, when you have a difficulty, feel that you have the capacity to overcome it, feel that you can manage it, rise above it. There's some bounce back ability, right? Because you can never really say that someone isn't experiencing some form of difficulty. You know, now we're talking about adulting, right? Because we talk about it because it's a struggle sometimes, right? So
a lot of times.
Yeah, but more often than not, you're kind of like ready. You're like, hey, I've been late 3 days this week. I think my boss is going to make a noise at me or something like that. But you're managing. You're not feeling overwhelmed. You're not feeling like you're drowning. So if you're having those experiences, then now you're starting to realize, okay, something's not right. I'm not keeping my head above water. I'm not thriving. I'm struggling. Then now we start talking about what's not mental. What's considered ill health mentally?
So that actually goes into one of the questions that I had about what are the signs and symptoms. You've just talked about it, of like, how can I tell that, you know, these are signs and symptoms that I'm not okay mentally. It's not just the usual, oh, long work week, I'm stressed, or I've had a hard day, a sad day, I'm bad. Like, how do you tell, okay, now I am crossing into, you know, like it's now a health issue and I need to seek help?
Yeah, okay. I would say stuff like, you know, being withdrawn, feeling like your social battery is very low. Though this is actually very typical sometimes of introverts, because it's just a personality thing. But then, I think we just go back to that, like, functionality, you know? Can you do your daily tasks? Like, are you able to go to work the next morning when you wake up? Are you, you know, reasonably excited about the day? Maybe not like, woohoo, but at least you're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. You know, you have some sense of, you have moments where there's levity, you're relaxed, happy, you can, you know, you're not feeling like there's a constant barrage of exhaustion or negative thoughts or emotional overwhelm all the time. Yeah, so because the thing is, like I said, it's normal to have like bad moments sometimes, to feel tired or to feel exhausted. It's normal. Like, the idea here is not that you're living in some kind of perfect house of that sort when you're mentally well. The idea is that you're managing it. When someone irritates you, you can notice it. Maybe you don't even snap because you notice that this person has irritated. You can move away or can address them about it. You guys can make up. Okay. You get what I'm saying? Just regular life, right? But then if you start to notice that maybe you're getting more irritable, eventually you're snapping. People around you can notice, because more often than not, that also happens. You know, they notice that something is different. They ask you, hey, is everything okay? Not left you for the last 2 days. You know, the stuff that you like to do, you don't like it anymore. It doesn't bring joy. You know, you have a hard time sort of feeling any enjoyment or excitement out of anything. You know, you find maybe your relationships are suffering because you don't want to interact with people, or you are not able to manage, you know, just normal relationship dynamics on a regular basis. So that's what I'm talking about, your functionality at work, your capacity to concentrate on stuff has changed, how you're sleeping, how eating. It's just, it's a lot of little small things. Well, before it becomes a big thing, right? So of course it's a spectrum. Yeah. So I think we tend to think about mental health as you're well or you're not, you know, like this kind of like very black and white type of situation.
That's how I think about it. Like you're well. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you have malaria, and you don't have malaria.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what creates the stigma, because it's a us versus them. You know, you don't want to be seen as being someone who has mental health issues, and you want to be seen as someone who has it together or whatever. And if you don't have it together, something's wrong with you. I think that black and white thinking creates that stigma narrative. But the reality is that, I mean, we are all human. The reason why I can sit with you depression and you understand, the reason why I can sit with sadness and you understand, it's because it's something you've experienced. You know what that means. Every single person knows what that means. Everyone has experienced some form of mental illness. Yeah, and that for the audience,
air quotes.
I'm using air quotes. I'm using air quotes because I'm trying to say that well, for it to be called illness, there has to be a diagnosis, right? Someone has to, you have to go to a professional, and a professional would be like, okay, yes, we've done a test of this nature and use my clinical skills to interview you and to examine you, and I determine that you have this kind of issue, this disorder that's happening at this time in your life. But you could have a lot of small symptoms which don't constitute a disorder yet. You get what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah. So that's why I keep saying it's a spectrum, right? It's a whole range of gray, and we all exist on that spectrum at some point or another. Sometimes you're really leaning on the dark side, and other times you're on this side. And that's another thing also. Time is a really important metric when it comes to deciding whether someone is mentally ill or not. Like, you could be sad, but then are you sad for 2 days or are you sad for 2 weeks continuously? Mm. That makes a difference when it comes to diagnosis, right? So it's a lot of different things, and that's why I think it's so important to talk about it as a spectrum, because that's what helps people feel that it's okay. Mm. This is something that we all experience at some point or another. Like, you get a cold, you know, and nobody tells you what's wrong with you. Are you not feeling your vitamins? Do you not exercise? You know what I mean? Like, they just they recognize that at some point you're probably gonna get a cold. Like, you all do at some point, you know, and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's
normal. That's true. Wow, I had never thought about it as a spectrum.
That's right.
Interesting.
I think for me, my follow-up question on that would be, so then what are some of the most common mental health issues young adults are battling today? Because it's a spectrum, but then I think it helps to actually identify what some of those are.
For young people, especially, okay, it depends on what you are, right? But then for a lot of people like us, like us, for example, I would say, I think this is the age of relationships, right? So psychologically, like, a person's life, when it comes to developmental psychology now, as we were talking, like, a person's life is kind of divided into these stages, right? And in this time sort of between, like, your early 20s and your early 30s, late 30s, let's say, it's a time when you're kind of dealing with this crisis. They call it isolation versus intimacy. So where you're learning to create long-term relationships and connections. So it's sort of an obsession of this time period. Yeah, people are really interested in how they're getting married and, you know, friendships and connections and friend groups and that sort of thing, and what's a real friend, and, you know, so relationships are a big deal. I find that because that's actually an age group that I see a lot in my practice, I find that it's interesting because in this time, you would imagine that people who come to therapy want to talk about COVID or the death of a loved one or something like that. But more often than not, it almost always sort of ends up thing about relationships. Yeah, about interactions with people and that sort of thing. So relationship dynamics are a big deal. Mm-hmm. How to navigate them, how to be healthy in an individual, in a relationship as an individual, and have the other person also be a healthy individual, and then have you guys be a good team together. Then, of course, when it comes to that, there's also issues to do with work life, stress, you know, managing the work life and the stresses that come with that, trying to grow, trying to build something. There are also challenges that are very big too. I think this time period that we are in, the excessive, the way in which we've been made self-conscious by social media, you know, creates a situation where everyone is very self-conscious, not self-aware, but conscious. So they're so aware of how other people are seeing them. Mm-hmm. And maybe so much that they lose touch with how, with who they really are inside. And when you lose touch with yourself, then other things start to happen. And then you start to get disorders like anxiety and depression. But then from my perspective, I would say a lot of those disorders are symptoms of deeper issues. You get what I'm saying? So you have depression, but why do you have depression? You know, you have anxiety, but why do you have anxiety? And then there's also other issues which are also, well, genetic. Sort of, yeah, there's some kind of genetic predisposition to them, like bipolar disorder and that sort of thing. Even with anxiety and depression, yes, there's certainly some genetic predisposition. Sometimes it happens that you sort of are, you have like an inclination, you know what I'm saying? Like there's a higher likelihood that you'll develop it. Doesn't mean that just because maybe you had a family depression and they're going to have depression, but it might mean that you have a high likelihood that when a stressor comes along, that might be something that develops.
Are certain personalities more predisposed to mental health issues, like say depression, anxiety? Personalities in terms of introvert, extrovert, or flag, whatever, melancholic.
Yeah. That's an interesting question that you're asking. Yes, it's true. I think personalities do have an impact on, you know, what people tend to develop or what could go wrong, so to speak. And I think it's very important that you bring that up, because I always like to talk about prevention when it comes to mental health. Like when you have an understanding of who you are, if you know that, oh, I tend to be, I'm a melancholic, and I tend to be a perfectionist, because that's a very melancholic thing. I'm a melancholic, by the way. That's my personality type when it comes to that spectrum. I can just see Carol smiling.
Because she's missing. Yeah.
Oh, she's the same. She's
totally the same.
Oh, nice. Yes, Carol. Us melancholic.
That's our WhatsApp group.
In this WhatsApp group, we tend to be... We can be very perfectionistic, right? So that's something that I can say it's something that I've really, really had to work on in my life, because it can really create so much anxiety.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it can create a lot of anxiety and just a lack of satisfaction with life, because it's like nothing's ever measuring up. It's like, oh, can we just push it a bit further? So it takes a lot, like, so just to let things be, allow things to hang loose, you know, it's like a real journey. I think, first of all, if that's something that one really worked on it and started to experience the benefits of that process, it's really, really improved my life. And it's really improved my life a lot. Yeah. So now when you know that that's my personality type and I tend to have these kind of things happening, now you can probably be more aware and notice traits in yourself and then work towards doing something about it. Remember what I was saying about the spectrum? So you might never be not be a melancholic. Maybe you always be someone who's very, you know, who likes to dot all their I's and cross their T's, but you have enough awareness to recognize when it's going too far and like, oh, come on, okay, just chill. Like, never leave
love
it.
Love is not ending.
Yeah, it's not all on your shoulders. It's not, you know. Yeah, so that's a great point, and I like that because I think it really brings it home and it makes it so accessible for everyone to think about, like, okay, how does my personality connect with? Yeah, I love that.
Okay. I think you do that well, Carol. Otherwise, we would not be friends, because me, I'm not a perfectionist at all. Like, you'd just be like, this chick, I'm so done with her.
What's your type?
What's your type?
You
know? I'm a flag.
Just an easy go. You lucky.
Yes, I am.
I know, right?
So I think I think you're doing well, Carol. Your spectrum is looking good, looking good. So what are some of the myths surrounding mental health? I'm sure you have a number where you just go like, oh my God, like, stop it. Don't even, especially in this age of, like, there's so much information out there. Do you sometimes come across information where you're like, that's not true? Like,
Someone
even say that.
Yeah, okay, there are a couple, right? But I would say, one, the, like what we talked about the spectrum thing, I think that's one of the ones I like to dissipate the most, just because I think it's their source of the stigma. So I would really like for us to just not think about it that way. So that we can all understand that we're all together, you know, we're all here on this planet Earth until we're not, you know, that those guys were trying to leave the planet. But for now, we are all here. Mm-hmm. You know, Elon Musk. But for now, we are all here. And now that we are here, we all experience the same things, and, you know, illness and well-being is something that we all experience, right?
Yeah.
So that's that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, we wait too long to get help. I think that's something that because it's such an invisible problem, right? Like, if you have a physical illness, people notice it, they'll sympathize, they'll empathize, they'll be like, oh, your leg is broken, it's obvious, and everyone's like, oh my goodness, of course you must go to hospital, something must be done. But then when it comes to an accident, a mental accident, right, like when you experience trauma, right, you've been in an accident, maybe nothing has happened to you physically, but you experience emotional trauma. Nobody really, like, makes a connection that, oh, something's going on here and this person problems some help. And then even when much further down the road, some symptoms start to appear, people tend to really just try and ignore it, right? And then they ignore it. And of course, it's going to probably develop into something. Sometimes it does go away on its own. Like, we are very resilient. Human beings are very resilient, right? It can just go away on its own, and other times it doesn't, right? So the idea here is, if you feel like it's persisted, if you feel like it's affecting how you are functioning, just go see someone. Like, go talk to someone. Go see a psychologist. Go see a professional. Yeah, go see someone with some learning about
it. Why would I pay money to see, like...
Why would you pay money to go to a doctor when you're ill?
Not ill of, like, you know, my back is aching, or like my eyes can't see anymore properly, and I really need to see a doctor.
Do you wait until your eyes can't see anymore to go to the doctor?
No.
Okay. But then that's the thing. I get what you're saying. That's a very, very good point. That's actually something that we definitely need to talk about. Why should I even bother to go to a psychologist? You don't have to, right? Because I think the thing is, there's now that kind of in the promotion of mental health matters, which is a good thing, which I totally back 100%, because I think it's important. We've kind of, like, created this notion that it's like everybody has to go to therapy, or that everyone needs it. I don't think everybody needs it, and I don't think you need it all the time. If you're fine, you're fine. But then if you're and that's what I'm trying to say, like, if you're functioning, you know, you yourself, by the way, you don't need anybody to tell you that you need to see a psychologist. You yourself know, because you're the one living the life. How are you feeling? Are you feeling like there's a sense of purpose and meaning in your life, to the extent to which you're satisfied and content enough? You know, are your relationships functioning well enough? Right? Of course, they'll tips every so often. I'm just saying that anyone can tell that something is wrong. You know, if something is wrong, you can tell that something is wrong. Yeah. There's so many different reasons why you would go to a therapist. You'd go because you want someone who can listen without judging you. Because that's the thing about our social spaces. Unfortunately, sometimes it happens that just because this is someone have a certain type of relationship with, becomes difficult to talk about, you know. So the idea here is get medication. I always use the hospital analogy because we do think about mental health as health, right? So you don't go to a doctor with a headache. You don't necessarily take Panadol when you have a headache. I don't like to take pills when I have a headache. I just drink a glass of water and take a nap and see whether that resolves it. Like, if it really gets worse, then maybe I might do something about it. But I don't always take that step, right? So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to that you go to a psychologist. You go if you feel that whatever is going on in life feels out of hand. You know, it's something that you are not manage, you just don't have a handle on it. You don't understand what's going on. It's recurring. You know, it happens. It's happening over and over again. It's getting into in the way.
For me, it's not that why would I pay money? It's that it's expensive. So is it a myth that therapy is expensive? Is it actually expensive? Is it? And I think that's why maybe some people are like, oh, okay, maybe I'll talk to my church pastor or talk to my friend or like, you know, someone who won't charge me by the hour.
Yeah.
So, is it a myth that it's pricey or pricey is relative?
Yes, you said it. Pricey is relative. It's true. Pricey is relative and pricey, and it also matters like, why, you know, what's the value addition? Like, do you feel that this is worth doing? Get what I'm saying? Price is relative. For some people, what I charge or what someone else charges is a lot. Or to someone else, it might feel, oh, this is fair. To another person, it might be like, oh, this is quite cheap, right? Because let's be honest, we are all on a spectrum, and people are different, right?
Yeah.
The good thing is that there's so much variety, let me put it like that. You can actually, even these days, by the way, churches are not how we used to think about them in terms of, you know, they just any other person from the church can just be told, oh, now you're a counselor and you should now counsel these people. That's really changed. Yeah. I know a lot of churches that take mental health very seriously, and they actually have professionals on board, you know, who they either, I don't know whether they pay them or these are people who just volunteer to give the service, but they are trained professionals. So it's possible. You can actually go to church and get mental help. Mm-hmm. The expense thing is a real factor. Like, no doubt about it, it's a real factor because people definitely, some want that help and they can't get it. But the thing is, like I said, this is a health matter, you know, and health is a factor of the government. It's a government responsibility. You know, you cannot put health on the shoulders of the private sector. Yeah, it just cannot handle it because a whole sector of mental health is basically missing. You know, like only maybe someone who has an illness that has gotten to the level of maybe psychiatry or having to maybe go to like Mathare, like this. Those places exist. And actually, by the way, also in Mathare, you can get just regular mental health care, right? Which does not necessarily mean you don't have to be someone who, quote unquote, looks crazy, you know, as they say on the street, to go to Mathare and get help. But you see, now a place like Mathare, there's so much stigma that's attached to something like that. Nobody would go to Mathare and say, oh, you know, I'm okay. I just feel like I'm having depression and I'm looking for help, you know? But now, unfortunately, there's not much else that's available at the public level, the public provision level, right? So that's what we're hoping can change, right? And that's what, like I'm saying, people in the profession have been working very, very hard towards, and hopefully we'll start to see some changes because some real traction is being made.
But yet I feel like the conversations and efforts that have been put into mental health awareness, has it really helped to change how people perceive?
I would say it has. Imagine I absolutely think that the efforts that have been put out there in terms of creating awareness have had an impact, because it's not the same. Like, how would I say it? It's not the same how we treat these issues and how our parents' generation, for example, treat these issues. I think there's a real change, right? In fact, they actually say that millennials are like the therapy generation because they're quite keen on it, right? People do it. Yeah, people are conscious about this idea that, oh, you know, we recognize that maybe some of the experiences that our parents have had have been passed down to us in this and this way, and I want to change that. You know, you hear someone say that, I want to change that. I want to create a different legacy for my children. I want to work on this thing that, you know, is a difficulty in my family and make it such that my kids don't have to have this experience, or I can be a better parent. You know, maybe more aware, maybe more emotionally present than my parents were able to, you know, not because they were not good parents, because they were doing their best, you know, parents do their best. But it's about capacity, and sometimes it's about awareness, right? So maybe they might not have had that knowledge or understanding, or it wasn't something that was so well thought through at that time, and now it is. So someone has that opportunity to do something about it and create a situation where our children and our children's children have more capacity. They're able to draw on themselves more and do more. I mean, that's great. Like, that's a wonderful legacy to leave behind. That's something that definitely want to pass to the next generation. And I think that's the stuff that will actually take this continent to the next level, right? Which I hope is something that we all care about, right? Yeah, so when you ask, has it changed anything? Oh, yeah, certainly.
What are some practical ways that you can give us that can help us not to fall on the dark side of the spectrum?
You'd be surprised. It's very basic stuff. yeah, it's true.
That's good news.
Yeah. So it's very simple things. Like, there's a very clear connection with the mind. If you're taking care of your physical health, that has a huge impact. Mm-hmm. You know, eating well, healthily, right? You know, exercise, such a huge one, right?
Exercise. I'm worried you're going to say exercise.
Oh, no. I know. Nobody wants to exercise.
No, we don't, but we all want to lose weight and be in shape.
And be in shape and look gorgeous. And you can add on the list to also have good mental health.
Yes, without working out. Added.
Yeah, so it's true. I mean, mental health is, I mean, exercise has a huge part to play because it releases endorphins. It helps your body kind of like flush out some of those hormones that create stress, cortisol, right? So it helps do that. And that's part of the reason why, you know, after a good run, of course, while you're running, it feels horrible and you're like, why am I doing this to myself? But then soon after, it feels fantastic. That because there's that release of endorphins, right? And it's kind of flashing out the stress hormones. So very important, working out, exercise would be good for you. Have some nice friends. yeah, have some good friends around you. Share, talk about some stuff that it's true. It's true. Talk about stuff that you're struggling with. Yeah, you'd be surprised just how much recognizing your common humanity is what they call it. To just being aware that me, you and I are in the same boat. Like, you are struggling with this thing and this happened to you. It goes a long way to making someone feel that they're not alone, that their experience is not so bad, that it's something that they can pull through. You know what I mean? So, yeah, have some healthy friendships around you, right? Have a spiritual practice. And we just talked about being a believer and going to church. So these days, of course, people have all sorts of different ideas about that. Mm. And from my perspective as a psychologist, like I say, the point here is not to judge or to say, oh, you must believe this way or think this way. But then it's important to have a sense of connection with something larger than yourself so that you can gain perspective that, you know, I mean, it's not all on you. You know, some things are out of your control and it's fine. And that kind of gives you a sense of that, you know, it's okay. You'll make it, you know, nothing is too big, yeah, to fall apart. Be real, be yourself, be honest about who you are, pursue your interests, you know, actually make a life that matters to you, create meaning, that sort of thing. You'd be surprised. These are the things that actually create mental ill health in people. It's just being disconnected from yourself is being unable to connect with a sense of purpose or a sense of meaning. It's maybe being feeling isolated, imagining that the experiences that you're having are, you know, all on you and something's wrong with you or, you know, that sort of thing. So those are just very simple things that you can do, you know.
I love journal. And they're practical.
Yeah, it's a really, really... It's a small practice, but something that can really help you feel connected to yourself, create more self-awareness. You know what I mean? Start to get to understand and know you. Mm-hmm. Then healthy coping. I don't think I can have this discussion without talking about maybe like substance use, right? Because mm-hmm. I think that's something that's also quite prevalent among people, young people. Substances are things that people use to try and like manage their state of well-being. Yeah, they're trying to feel better. Yeah. Like it's like self-medication in some sense. You know what I mean? So the idea here is just try and figure out what it is that you're, what are you trying to run away from? What is it that is hurting? What are you afraid of? What is it that is difficult and painful for you? Sometimes it can be very hard to come in contact with that when it's not a skill that you have learned or had in your life. Yeah. So in an effort, so in that process, basically, that person, a person can become very disconnected with themselves, you know, and even insist and maintain that nothing is wrong, but something is clearly wrong. Right?
Mm.
Yeah. So basic things, like I said, it's nothing out of this world. You know, yeah, we talk about mental health as if it's something so
big, and yeah, I love that there are practical things that we can do. Okay, so lastly, Olive, your parting shot. If we forget everything that you've said today, God forbid, but if we forget everything that you've said today, what is the one thing that you would not want us to forget, that you would want everyone to know about mental health?
Wow. Okay, that's a deep question. What I would want people to know, it's accessible. It doesn't have to be expensive, right? Because it's something that you can proactively do. In the same way, even health, just your general health, is something that you can proactively work on and create a situation where there's less likelihood of you ever falling ill, and that you actually are healthy and you feel vibrant physically. Mm. It's the same way you can do a lot of things to make sure that you're mentally well, right? And should something happen, you know, for whatever reason, that would lead you to feel that you're not in a space where you're feeling well, it's okay to seek help. Yeah.
Thank you, Olive. Where can our listeners find you?
So you'll find me on Prometheus. That's how you pronounce it. It's Prometheus Kenya. At Prometheus Kenya, or at Prometheus _ KP on Instagram. At Prometheus _KP. And the website is www.prometheus.com. Kenya.com, from Kenya.com. What I try to do with that page is to create content that is enlightening, that creates insight, that makes someone feel like they've learned something, that they've experienced something that might help them. So regardless of whether they ever choose to seek sessions or not, they still have an experience that is helpful, you know, that actually ends up enriching their lives in some way.
Thank you. I really love your page. It's
amazing. Cool,
guys.
Thank you.
You need to go find it. We're going to share all your links in our show notes.
Thank you.
All right. We have come to the end of our conversation, guys. That was nice. Very, very enlightening. You might need to go back, see the notebook and take notes. We have really loved talking to you, Olive. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciated it. I've loved every minute. It's been fun. It's been like a fun catch up and conversation. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you.
He has a great host.
All right, guys, we're going to end it here. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.